Welcome back to the Mood Lab. So this is probably the funniest place I've ever recorded in. I'm literally sitting in my new bathroom. Probably the sound is going to be a bit awkward, I'm not sure. I have some bags sitting next to me and I literally am sitting on the toilet seat. I mean, the closed one, obviously, but so I need to record this because I want to really push this episode out to you and publish it, but I obviously have to record in some sort of quiet space before I'm going to a cafe to edit. Right now where I'm sitting in this apartment, I still don't have electricity, I do have running water, and I don't have internet obviously in here. Just now my furniture was delivered, so part of it, I guess like most of it. And yeah, it's just hilarious. I will do a whole episode on the past couple of weeks because they have been, let's say, how do I put it, challenging, growth inducing, I'm trying to find words, but literally, yeah, I'm gonna do a separate episode on that because I don't want to keep you for too long before we dive into this episode. And I have such a beautiful episode to share with you because I had the pleasure to talk to Melissa Hart, and she is a faith reconstruction mentor and has a beautiful story to share with us on how she actually went through deconstruction of her faith into reconstruction. And she really is just such a beautiful soul. She will introduce herself, so you'll get into all of the information. You will hear about her story. And I think it's so valuable that we have those conversations because, I mean, you know about my journey already, but hearing other people's journey and how they rediscover God or how they find their own path towards Him and how God also finds us when we really truly need Him. It's just so beautiful to talk about and to share and so encouraging, really. So I actually don't really want to keep you much longer before we dive into the episode. I'm just going to tell you, as always, it would help so much and it would mean the world if you could subscribe to the Mood Lab on Spotify or Apple Podcast or anywhere you're listening to podcasts to. And also if you could leave 5 stars, so just give it a rating after you listened, because that helps so much as well. And as I said, means the world. I really feel so blessed that you all are listening and that you're on this journey with me. And yeah, thank you for all your support, for all the messages about the podcast that you're sharing with me. Every time that one of you is approaching me in person or online and sharing about something that you've listened to, it honestly, you cannot even imagine how much that means and how happy that makes me. I just love doing this and you know that. So I hope I can keep on doing this as long as possible. And I mean, honestly, I would love to do this forever because I just love, love, love doing this podcast. It just is one of my favorite things to do in this world. So without further ado, let's dive into the episode and let Melissa introduce herself. Hi, Melissa. I'm so excited to welcome you on the Mood Lab and yeah, to share this hour with you and also just to get into a story and, well, your story, but also it feels like it's partially a story that I've been living through or am living through. So I feel so connected to what I've seen you sharing online and I'm really excited to dive into all of that. And I feel like it's something that is so timely. It is truly concerning us and it matters. It truly matters. And I feel it deep in my heart that this conversation needs to be, yeah, we need to have this conversation. And I would just love if we could start with you introducing yourself a little bit. So, because I feel like a lot of this episode is going to be about your story as well. So maybe you can just start with a little introduction of yourself.
Yeah, hi. I'm so excited to be here. As you were talking and introing, I just felt this big rush of energy. And I think that speaks to why this conversation is important, that God is moving and He has something that He wants to say to those of us that have been on this big faith journey. So I'm Melissa, and I am a certified life coach and spiritual mentor for women. And I'm really passionate about working with women who are navigating big life transition seasons, right? They're going through big changes and especially faith journeys. And we're going to talk more about my deconstruction journey. But for a lot of women, when they feel called back to faith or to God, they don't know how to do that authentically. And so that's the work that I do, is how do we navigate what I call this middle space, living in the gray, in a way that allows us to live authentically in our relationship to God, to others, and to ourselves. And how do we do that while living in integrity and not in the kind of woo-woo new age space? And that's what I'm just really passionate about doing and walking with women. And I'm excited to be telling you more about that today.
I love that so much because, I mean, I feel like that is like literally what I've been in the past couple of months, really transitioning out of the new age into finding back to God and to Jesus. And I am so looking forward to hearing all about your story there, because I myself, and I don't know if you know that, but maybe you've read that online as well, I also came from like a Catholic background, but church, or more so the Bible or Jesus or God, were never really introduced to me, not in a way that would have made sense or would have been of value in terms of, hey, you can actually have a personal relationship. You can actually pray to God. You can, God is your heavenly father. You can actually have this like personal relationship with him. And that's been something that's been completely out of the picture. So as soon as I got to the point in my life where I was struggling heavily and I didn't know how to hold myself anymore and how to move on and move forward, I was looking outside of myself for other tools to help myself because I didn't know that I could find that in God. And so I left church and everything that came with that, the Bible, God, etc. I left all of that behind and I went into a completely different direction, explored Buddhism, Hinduism, and all of that. And only to find out, really, and I'm so looking forward to hear your story on that as well, to find out that everyone is telling you to look inside of you. And at some point, I was just so upset with that because I was like, I'm not strong enough on my own. What am I going to find inside of me? It's just not going to be enough. Like, I cannot hold this myself. It's just too much. And that would be the times where I would cry out to God and be like, hey, I actually need you. And yeah, so that's just a little bit of what I wanted to bring in there. So I would be so happy to hear, because I know that you also started out being somewhat related to faith, and I think even probably more so than I was. And then you did this whole like, journey from there. So maybe let's just start there and see where we're going.
Oh yeah, I was super religious. So I grew up in the evangelical Christianity tradition, so the evangelical denomination. And I grew up in a Christian and Missionary Alliance church. And in fact, that's the denomination of the university that I went to as well. So there was a really heavy emphasis on missions, saving people, live minimally. To be persecuted is to, you know, be raised and blessed. And so it was very focused on convert people, serve mission. And what's interesting is growing up, as I got into junior high and high school, it was really my own self that motivated me deeper into being super religious. So yes, my family, we attended church, but my parents were not as religious of zealous as I was. And I can see now that that is what really appeals to people about evangelical Christianity is it's very black and white. This is truth and this is not. And for people like me who have a type A personality and I'm an Enneagram 1, like, I love that. Just give me the facts, give me the answers, and then I can go around and tell everyone else how they're wrong and how I know everything. So I went off to college and I got a degree in Bible and theology, and I actually thought I was going to be a missionary. So like, I was like, you know, go big or go home. Yeah. Like, I was in all the way. And I was really passionate about that. I really love studying scripture. And I think in college is where, I didn't know it at the time, but the foundation started to wobble. And when big questions started being asked about God, and I remember like the theory of atonement and realizing that there were several different theories that really started to throw me for a loop, my response was, instead of going into asking the questions, I leaned in harder. I became even more just dogmatic and legalistic about what I believed. And I held on to that for still almost a decade after college. So that was kind of my upbringing.
Yeah, that is definitely very different. So I would really love to hear, when was there a point where you were like, okay, this is not for me. I'm going to move out of that. Because I assume, or maybe you can reflect upon that, how was your relationship with God and Jesus at that point? Was it more like, because you just, in the way that you shared with us just now, it feels like, okay, it was a lot of that type A structure. So it was more of a thing that you almost, I just assuming now, forced yourself into, kind of being in that rigidity, right? And sounds very much away also from the feminine and the way that we usually like to relate and are also just made to relate as women, right? So I would love to hear how that journey unfolded and where there was this breaking point of, okay, I need to, like, I'm going to look into something else because I'm pushing myself out of that. It's not serving me in some ways.
Yeah, God has been really reminding me in the last year on this journey that He was there and that I was experiencing connection and a relationship with Him, but it was very much from a, I got to do more and I got to work harder kind of space. And if I wasn't feeling totally blissed out and connected to Him, there was something I was doing wrong. So there was very much like this do kind of attitude and very focused on how I wasn't good enough and how I had to get it to be better and I had to get myself to be better. So what happened was after college, I moved to this tiny little coastal town in Oregon. And that was a Calvary Chapel church, and it was a smaller church, and it was very conservative. And I struggled there with the teaching. And I knew the pastor's son actually took over our campus. And, you know, this whole journey was totally unexpected. I was sitting in service, and the pastor stood on the stage and said that he believed that the reason that the Bible said women cannot teach men is because their emotions cloud their ability to interpret scripture correctly. And so them being too emotional means that they cannot teach other people, or especially men, because they can't understand scripture clearly the way that men could. For me in that moment, so there are a lot of different theological like ideas around men and women and complementarianism. I don't have a problem with that. If you want to say this is my theological reasoning, I had a challenge with him standing up there and saying his opinion from what I felt was not a holistic or educated view on humans and women. And that felt really harmful for me to experience. And so I stopped attending church. Now, at the time, never had I even considered leaving my faith. That was never even on my radar. But something about physically stopping the attendance, going to this space, is what allowed my body to feel like, oh, we can start asking questions now. Because I think when you are attending and you're participating, you know, you watch people in your community get in trouble for asking questions. I got in trouble as a woman for pushing back and being in leadership positions. And so your nervous system learns, like, we don't ask questions. And so there was something about physically being out of that space. And there was a popular podcast at the time called The Liturgist Podcast that was really seen as this like super liberal progressive podcast. And I was told years before to not listen to it. And someone mentioned it. This is very just interesting how this all happened. Someone randomly mentioned it and I started listening again. And this was a podcast and was leading a movement of people who were deconstructing or leaving their faith. And there was something about listening to these people break down. We're going to talk about what that process is, break this down and start asking questions and not being in that community space. Literally, for most people, deconstruction happens in a matter of months or years. They can even be in church for years. My deconstruction process was a matter of weeks. Literally within a couple of weeks, it went from being my entire identity and my entire life to I don't believe any of it anymore. Just like that.
Yeah, that is so interesting. I would love, could you go a bit deeper into what deconstruction is? Because for me, on my side of the spectrum, that's like something, a term that I've only actually stumbled across through your work. And I would really love to hear more, because you were sharing with me that it's actually something that's really present right now. And I do believe so. In the way that you're explaining it, I can see that this is like that this has been going on a lot. So I would just love if we could just like elaborate a bit more on that.
Yeah, because there is a difference between going through a full deconstruction process and just doubting and exploring and journeying. So I like to use the analogy of like demolishing a house. So when you think of like a house or a building being demolished, you think of like this big crane and this giant metal thing smashing into the house and everything falls to pieces. But if you were going to go and deconstruct the house, you would start peeling off the layers of the roof, and then you would start removing the drywall and remove it brick by brick until all the pieces are laying there. That is what deconstruction is a systematic tearing down of your belief structure. And so it starts with, huh, I was told that the Bible is inerrant, which means there is no errors in it and it's perfect and you can't ask questions. And for the most part, you kind of take it literally. So then you start to think about that because you're a smart person with intelligence and you're like, but the world being created in 6 days doesn't really match science, right? And you start asking questions about even the order of creation and trees being made before stars and things that just don't match up. And then that starts the ball rolling. Once you start peeling down one layer, that leads you to the next. And all of a sudden you just tear down the whole structure and the foundation of your belief system.
I would be so interested in hearing what are your thoughts on like now? I mean, this is like probably like going way too fast now, but what are your thoughts on those things now that, I mean, just like bringing this forward. So you're back in your faith and you're, well, you're back trusting God and you're back to faith and all of that. So how do you view those things now? Because for me, I can just say that I mean, everyone on here knows. So I've been reading the Bible since the 1st of December, basically. So this is like very, I mean, I've read it as a child, but I didn't get anything. And so this is like my new journey with it. And I'm like taking all the resources to help me understand. I have so much joy reading it, which is so interesting because I'm smiling at myself because I'm like, well, if someone would have told you a year ago that you would actually enjoy reading the Bible, you wouldn't have believed it. And now you really enjoy this, like with your whole heart, and you feel such a connection to it. And it's so beautiful and so powerful. But I would love to hear your thoughts on, okay, so you got all of those ideas of like how this is probably not true. And there is like biology and there's this like way of how science works and blah, blah, and all of this stuff. And how do you now reconcile with that and find your way back? Maybe we can start actually with that journey and then we can go into that.
Yeah, I think for me, when I look back on my journey, and I say this all the time, deconstructing my faith was not optional for me because I was gripping so hard to legalism and to just this dogmatic black and white way of thinking. And I think that I'm just so bullheaded and stubborn in those ways that in order for me to release my grip on relating to God and faith in that way, I had to tear it all down.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the journey that led me into a difficult few seasons. But I think so there's a pastor that has really helped me in my return these last few months. And he says, what if deconstruction is repentance? What if deconstruction is we've got this wrong? And not repentance of, I'm sorry, because we kind of get that misunderstood as Christians, but repentance as, this is not the right way to think about God and about faith, right? Repentance is like a changing of your mind, a renewing of your mind. And deconstruction is a way of actually committing to truth and integrity and saying, this does not match up. It doesn't. And it can come with a lot of consequences, which we're going to talk about. But what if that is like a necessary piece of this journey? As a human species, we evolve, our consciousness evolves, and we start to think about things differently. And this movement is a way for us saying, this is not God's true nature. And we're going to drop all this legalism. And maybe Christianity in the West has gotten some things wrong, how we relate to God. And we've made it about this prayer and about whether we're literally going somewhere after we die. And we've missed the point. And this deconstruction movement has led us closer to truth. So after I deconstructed, I did something that a lot of people who deconstruct do. So here in America, we call ourselves evangelicals. So it was this huge wave of millennials over the last decade that have left, and we're not evangelical anymore. And what happens is that a lot of us go completely to the opposite extreme, right? So we've been in this conservative space, and then we see the liberal side, and we're like, oh, that's the solution to all the harm and the pain we just experienced. Look how tolerant the left is. Look how accepting they are. Look how much freedom is in that community. And I did that. And something that's really important about my work that I'll just pop in here real quickly is it's important to understand how normal that is and good that is. And I'll tell you why. Because our bodies are wired to keep us safe. So if we grew up in a system that taught us how to think, believe, act, and behave, we leave it, our bodies are like, what the heck is happening? And her job is to find us safety. So whoop, we're just going to pop right into a different group to tell us how to think, act, and behave.
That's so important to talk upon, because I think that was something that I read a book by John Mark Comer, and he talked about this whole thing of like, we always believe in something, we always follow someone or something. And that's so true. Exactly. And then in the end, he says, it only matters and it only makes a difference. Okay, what do you believe in and whom are you following? Because you will always do that, no matter in which direction you're going. So it basically, the choice is you can choose which way you want to go. And I think that just is so fitting to what you just said, because we always will seek out belonging again and our safety or our box where we can kind of fit in, because we reason being in a certain category, right? This is how we make sense of the world around us, and this is how we interpret the world around us. So I think that's something so important. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, and why I really harp on this a lot is because when I was first deconstructing, I love that you mentioned John Mark. His church is actually just a couple hours from me, and I have a pretty strong connection to that space. When I was deconstructing, I heard a lot of like Tim Keller. He's a big, well-known theologian in the evangelical space. Like, he would just come out and like, deconstruction is sinful and don't be so foolish. And there was a lot of just like vitriol against this movement of deconstruction. And I'm so passionate about talking about why it can actually be good, is because we, in order to really experience change and transformation, we have to have compassion and space for our journey. And this work is nuanced, right? It doesn't mean that we just give permission to do anything we want and harm people. But there's a part of us that, especially for those of us who are big truth seekers, and it's important for us to live in integrity, there needs to be space for us to explore and ask questions and be on the journey. And for people who don't ask questions about their faith and that's not something that they need to do, it's important to have compassion and understanding for why their loved ones are going through that. And that's just a normal part of the process and the season that we're in. And when you approach it as, this is a horrible, foolish mistake and thing to do, that is only going to push someone further away, right? That is not going to be supportive and loving for their journey. And when I look back on my journey of deconstructing, I only have a few friends left from that church space. And they were the ones that loved me regardless of the journey that I was on. They didn't understand it and they didn't want to participate, but they were not judging me. And they didn't have any mean things to say. They were just like, we love you.
And that's actually the thing that we are called to do if we are following Christ. This is what we are called to do, right? It is to love really, truly every single one, no matter where they are on their journey. So I think that is just, I mean, it just speaks for those people that they really understood what they're supposed to do, their purpose, really. They understood their purpose. And for myself, I can only speak about my personal experience. I had actually just people around me who started to plant seeds. And I do even believe that they didn't even think about trying to convince me of anything. They didn't even think about that. It was just by their mere presence and the way that they spoke and the way that they trusted in Him, in Jesus Christ. That was really truly what just like planted those little seeds within me, so that at the time that actually God was calling me to Him, I had something to kind of help me to make sense of it all, because I had those little seeds, I had this little information, and I had these little, yeah, just like people and connections where I could draw upon. And I think that is like all that really truly matters. And I had a conversation about this with my pastor here as well. And it was just so beautiful, because he was also like, it's so beautiful to witness in this city, because this city draws in a lot of new age spiritual people. Mm-hmm. So it's like full of them. And the space that we are having church in is a cafe from Tuesday to Friday, which is just magic. And it draws in all those new age spiritual people mm-hmm. to work from there, to like just do their digital nomad life work, basically. And it's so interesting, because you then like see people getting curious, asking questions, and no one really just approaching them and talking about that this is also church, but they ask because they see it. It's on the other side of the window. It says church. And so I don't know, it's just a beautiful way of opening up a conversation and opening up a door, so that when someone feels ready or feels drawn to open this field for themselves, that there is an open door and you're welcome. I think that is something so beautiful and so important.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's what God is inviting us to look at and say, hey, this really, like, evangelically, we got to go out there, we got to stand on the street corners, we got to give people tracks, we got to like save people. It doesn't work. How are we living by example?
Yeah.
So I'm in this season of, I've pretty much mostly deconstructed, and now I'm in this kind of woke liberal space. And I decide that I'm going to start online dating. And I actually experience an assault with the first man that I meet online dating. And I bring this piece into the conversation because what happened after that was a decision to take back my power over my body and over sex and go back into the online dating world. But at the time, I was in this kind of woke feminism space that the stories that I was allowing into my mind were hookup culture is good. Casual relationships are good. Women can have just as much sex as men and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And this story is really nuanced because there's no predicting our trauma response, right? And I'm not saying that my trauma response is because of wokeness, but I think when we're not careful about what we allow into our minds and what we're listening to and absorbing, and the truth for me about the left and that about wokeism is it's a lie. And so my response to that incident was just to lean in harder, which was funny because kind of like with college, right? Oh, the foundation gets rocked and I'm going to lean in harder. And I spent a year or two living in that world, just like all in, like none of this matters. And I'm not finding my person. So I'm just going to do whatever I want. And there's no guardrails. And as I'm on this journey, I met two men through online dating. I actually never met them in person. We, you know, connected through the apps and then would jump on phone calls. And both of them, in separate conversations, I would say, you know, something, I'd use some kind of woke language like patriarchy or whatever. I don't shave my legs anymore. And they would be like, Melissa, you're a smart person and we can see that you're a smart person. Why are you spouting all this BS? Like, what are you talking about? Like, why are you saying these things? They don't even matter. And they would start giving me like logical reasons why what I believe was wrong. And I was like, oh, I'm being called out. I'm being penetrated by the masculine. I didn't understand that that's what was happening at the time. And it, you know, what was so interesting to me was that these were very strong, healthy, masculine men. And I interpreted that as men like that are woke and are liberal. And so to encounter men of that kind of stature and quality and have them have more conservative values, for lack of a they weren't religious. They weren't religious, and yet they held these more conservative values. I was like, I've not encountered this before. What is this? And the second man, he would send me resources and YouTube videos and books and people to listen to. And he's like, listen, girl, you got to like read this stuff and get your head on straight.
Yeah.
And what I realized is I didn't know anything about anything. And just like when I was religious, I didn't quite speak to this piece, but when I look back, I'm like, I was just regurgitating information, right? Like we memorized catechism. That's more of a Catholic thing. I memorized catechisms growing up in like elementary school. And it was more about being seen as having the answers and like believing that this was right. But I didn't really have a why. Like I couldn't really tell you why. Same thing when I went over to the left. I was just regurgitating stuff I saw on social media or articles. And it felt, and also there was this feeding of like self-righteousness and like, yeah, I care about the oppressed and I care about justice and people who are suffering. And so when I had this awakening of like, I don't know anything. And oh, these people on the left, they're doing exactly what the people on the right are doing, right? Mm. They offer the solution and freedom. But really, if you don't say the right thing, if you don't use the right pronoun, if you, oh, you're out of here. Like shame, cancel, like it's the same behavior. Yeah. It's the same behavior.
Yeah.
And I realized that I needed to full stop. And so I actually do this with my clients, but I did a whole year actually of I don't know. And so I did a whole year of I'm not allowed to have opinions. I'm not allowed to say that I know things are fact. And I took a posture of humility and took on a beginner's mind and was like, here I am in my early 30s and I got to learn some basic facts about the economy, about race, about sexuality. Yeah. And I have to start over because I've just been indoctrinated from both sides about how to see the world. So I did a full and complete like stop and actually learned about these things.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, it just is kind of, for lack of a better word, crazy when we actually look at statistics and when we actually look at like facts around a lot of the conversation that is going on right now, especially, I mean, yeah, the traditional space can also, like you said, there's like this one narrative and it's exclusive of the other narrative. But then in the woke narrative, basically, for me, that's even more crazy to some extent because, like, and I mean, the thing is, I feel like in the traditional, more traditional ways, there is definitely space and room that needs to be found, and there needs to be a bit more openness in also in the way that we already talked about. For example, if someone is on a different path, there would need to be there needs to be space for someone on a different path because we don't want to exclude anyone, as that's not, it's just not helpful. That's probably the best way to phrase it. It's just not helpful. And so, but on the woke side, I think there's actually so much harm that is currently done in that space. And it actually is one of my biggest heart desires to express it that way, that I feel so strongly about changing part of the narrative, even if it's just in my immediate environment. But I feel like I felt not heard when I was in that new age spiritual bubble. I felt like, where are the people that think like me? Why am I like different to all those people? And why are the things, like when I really think about the things and practices that everyone is doing, especially with like their sexuality and just the way that they relate to others and how they live their life, why does that feel like not really that good and kind of harmful in many ways? And if you really think about it, it's not serving you as a woman, even though they claim it does. And I mean, one of my most eye-opening reads was this book that's called A Case Against the Sexual Revolution.
Love that book.
Yeah, it's I've brought this up here so many times and it's such a good read. And I feel like, yeah, we need to have more of a narrative like that, because what I see is like here in Lisbon, especially, I see all those book clubs and meetings and women entrepreneur gatherings popping up everywhere and people literally talking about, okay, we can do all of this on our own. Did you actually know that we invest much better than men? We don't need men anymore. And we need another book club for feminists and whatever, all the letters kind of people, and everything needs to be rainbows. And actually, one of the most interesting things that happened to me as well, and I don't know if I shared this ever on here actually, but There was a moment last year where I felt like, but no one is representing me anymore. Like I was in a space where me as a biologically feminine woman, I wasn't represented. And I actually felt so sad in my body because I was like, wasn't the whole point of women going out there in terms of their feminist, just what they wanted to achieve with that, wasn't the point of it all to be able to be a woman and to fully be that? Because we've completely lost that. And we've allowed men to overtake women once again in a way of they can actually just claim to be a woman and that's okay. And when you ask people on the streets, and there are so many videos on that actually, when you ask people on the streets, what is a woman? All of a sudden it becomes a construct. And that is like beyond everything that I could ever grasp really, because being a woman, to me, it doesn't feel like a construct. I mean, I was born this way. So I think that is just something that falls into this conversation as well. And is, yeah, it's just really interesting to me. And then just to bring that back to what we've just been talking about, I feel like for me, I started to find myself actually in a scripture that I was reading. I mean, I started with devotionals and then scripture and then just listening to sermons. And I was like, there is a space for me. There is a space where I can actually find myself. And I see what you shared. There is also a space on that side, which is like super harsh and in a way not serving women at all, because it's in an interpretation that, yeah, just doesn't allow for a narrative that includes women, which I do believe is not grounded in scripture as far as my understanding goes right now. But I also do believe that somewhere in that direction, not completely on that side, there is so much truth to be found, which can actually be so valuable to us.
And that was what caused me to return. So as I started learning, particularly Thomas Sowell and Jordan Peterson really has been the major factor. And what they did was they explained to me very clearly the real and good and necessary value that religion offers the human species, particularly in the American society. I didn't understand that. Like, I remember growing up and like, oh, God's design and this is why it's designed this way. But like, I didn't really understand. Like, it was kind of just jargon. It was just things that you recited. I didn't, that was not an embodied understanding that I had. And, you know, I'm careful when I say these things. It's not to say maybe I did hear that when I was younger and I just didn't want to receive it. But for me, as I started learning about all these things, I was like, oh my gosh, like we need this. And it's not that everyone, not in a way that's like everyone has to participate and be super religious, but understanding how foolish it is to A, completely throw the baby out with the bathwater, and B, act like we know exactly the right way to live. What?
Yeah.
Like, our race is like thousands and thousands of years old. And now in 2023 and 2024, we think we all of a sudden have all the answers. That is foolish. And that is arrogance, right? And Jordan Peterson's really good about that. Like, stop being stupid. Like, come on. And that doesn't mean then that you can't take a critical eye. Of course, all institutions are broken. All institutions need to grow and change. And what I've seen of the church in the last decade, they are changing. Is it slow? Are there still things that, you know, we would love to see changed? Of course, but we really need to be a little bit more mature and discerning in how we think about the world and our mindset about like all of a sudden having all the answers because we're on this high of being freed from this space. And that was a really key piece that I needed in my journey.
I think what is so important in what you just said, the church equally to all other institutions and to all other bodies in this world, it's led by humans.
Yes.
So we will always, no matter how hard someone is trying to take the correct path, we all make false turns and we all have errors and we all sin and like, just do something that's not right and that's not in the mind or in what God has intended for us. But that is like something that we'll find everywhere. And it's just for us, it's important to have that discernment and to understand that this is possible and that we have the ability no matter to which sermon we go to or which pastor we listen to or which book we are reading or even like politicians, etc., we always have the, not only the opportunity, we actually, I feel like we are called to, we need to bring in that discernment and to make our own decision about what we have just listened to, what we've just gathered as information, and discern, does that feel right to us or does it feel not as the truth that, yeah, we can receive? And then obviously also discern, maybe I'm just not ready for it, or maybe I just don't want to listen to this because I just don't want to hear it, or maybe it's actually something that is potentially really harmful and that's something that we should kind of look into more and get other sources or ideas on that specific topic, because in the end it is human made. Those sermons are human made. It's not like God is standing there in front of us and speaking, right? So it's not the absolute truth that is being spoken. It cannot be. It's not possible.
And you have keyed in on something that's really important about why we have this problem here in the West. Having the ability to hold that level of nuance, what is striking me as true here and what is not for me, people don't like to do that. That takes a really strong regulated nervous system. And why we've gotten to this space in the West is because we can't do that. We want to be really legalistic about it. And so when I talk to my religious friends about the way that I see scripture now, which is written by people and their account, particularly in the Old Testament, that is how they understood God at that time. That was the framework and the construct that they had. It was primarily within a sacrificial religious system. That's how they related to God at the time. And the people that I know that are still evangelical, they don't like that. Because it's like, it's all or nothing. It's either totally inherent and it's totally all literally true, or it's not at all. There's not this space made for nuance, and there's not space made for people that are like, yeah, this isn't working for me right now. It's like, but it's truth. And you're living in falsity and sin. And the beauty of the church community that I have found now is, it's kind of funny how I phrase it, but they are just so unbothered by people's faith journey. Now, the leaders are men and women of very profound, strong faith, but that they are not threatened by where people are at in their spiritual journey. And I hope that we're moving in that direction as a church, but that is not the space that I grew up in at all. And it's because that is deeply uncomfortable to people. We feel more comfortable when everyone just agrees with us. And that is what's so hard about the church.
Yeah, that's so beautiful that you found this community and this kind of, church and, all of that basically for yourself, because that was literally, I feel like that kind of shows the nuance that was missing in both areas. Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful that you could find it exactly on your path back to reconstructing your faith. And we need to get into that for another moment in just a second. Because I just want to add that I feel like this is exactly also what is happening here in Lisbon. We have this beautiful open church. Really, you could be from any walk of life. You could actually still like dabble in spirituality and do some sort of practice that probably most of the people wouldn't agree with, and you would still be welcome. And that is something that I find is so unique and so important, because it, again, what we talked about earlier, it gives everyone the opportunity to be on their own individual journey and wherever that journey may take them, because it's not something that is for us to influence or for us to decide upon. But I actually do strongly believe that, I mean, God knows like every hair on our head, right? So He knows when He wants to call someone to Him, and He's like knocking at the door literally and being like, hey, you want to like maybe start a relationship with me? And I mean, this is like just me talking about it like in a funny sense, but I do believe that's how it happened. Like, I mean, this happened to me. Like, it literally happened to me that I kind of got the word prayer. Like, Karina, you want to pray, and equally, you need to pray. It was like this, my whole body knew that I could not do otherwise. So I just, one day last year, after I had already all of those seeds that were planted, and so I kind of already was starting to build like some sort of relationship. It was kind of there, but not really. I didn't really think about it. It's just like going on. And on that particular day, I was just like, okay, I'm going to pray. And I didn't stop. Like, that was the day I started and I never stopped. And that was just a journey that was unfolding. And then from that, it just sparked my curiosity. And I don't know where that came from. Like, I mean, I know where that came from, but it was nothing outside of me in terms of some news or some Instagram post or some YouTube video that sparked that. It was literally just me being like, okay, talking to God and like building this relationship right now, it's just different. Somehow my anxiety just went away. I don't feel as lost as I did. Something is different. Okay, let me look into this. And then I just started to pick up books. Then I started to pick up YouTube videos, watch YouTube sermons and listen to podcasts and literally just diving into everything that I could find as information on Christianity, on God, on Jesus. Like, I didn't even know the role of Jesus in all of that. I didn't know why Jesus was that important. And so I had to, like, I literally Googled, okay, why do people, like, believe in Jesus? Like, I literally Googled that because I didn't know. And so I think that is something that, yeah, it couldn't have been someone being like, hey, Karina, so this is Jesus, and now please believe in him. So, like, this is not how that works. Like, it had to come from this real, true source that literally brought me to my knees. And, yeah, and he was just like, okay, this is the way that you go. You were kind of seeking me already, and here I am. And
can the church trust? Can the church trust God? Can the church trust God that he is moving without their evangelical efforts?
Yeah.
That's the question for the church today is, do you trust that God is moving and speaking in ways that are outside of what you understand and how you think the Christian walk should look?
That's it. That is so, that's so on point. That's so beautiful. Yeah, I would love if we could just go a bit more into the reconstruction part to go back to that for a moment, because I feel like that is something that I would love to hear more about and how that unfolded.
Yeah, just like leaving, I never expected to come back. All these parts of the journey were not planned, kind of like your story. It's just God is moving in ways that I was not conscious of. So I did all this learning and I was like, oh, wow, this is actually like really important. And I started shifting my political beliefs, right? Coming out of wokeism and coming out of the left. Still not really interested in the religious space. And then I moved to a new town, and just kind of like how you described your journey about prayer, the same kind of thing happened where I was like, I think I want to go back to church. Like, out of nowhere. I remember like sitting on the couch and I was like, that's weird. And I think it also came from moving to a new town and not having a community and having this understanding of, wow, the church actually does something really beautiful here, right? They're going to bring you a casserole when you're sick. And I really care about community work and, you know, being involved in the community. And that's something that some churches, a lot of churches, do really well. And so all of a sudden, as I started to have this love and appreciation for the role that Christianity and religion plays in our society, I found myself longing to be back in that space again. But it was really tricky because I did not believe the story again, right? I didn't have this like coming back to relationship or faith necessarily. So it really started with this desire in my body to be back in that physical space. And so I remember literally Googling churches and reading their websites. And I was like, I'm going to find the least evangelical-y one that I can. Like the one that has the least about trying to change and convert people. And I found one. I was like, okay, I'm going to try it. And I went, it was in a year ago, December. And I think I listened to a sermon beforehand and I appreciated the way that the pastor talked about bodies and purity culture and just acknowledging the harm that the church had done in that space. And I was like, okay, this guy's living in the real world and understands. And my very first in-service in church service, he mentions deconstruction. These are just the little moments of synchronicity, right? That God does for us. And he just was like, we should not be criticizing people that are going through deconstruction. And what I didn't know at the time was that there is a professor of a local university that attends this church that specializes in deconstruction, like has a podcast about it and a book. And I had no idea. So this church has a very special relationship to deconstruction. And that was the first time I had heard a pastor be like, do it. Literally, he said that in the room, do it. Go ask questions. Like, again, so not threatened, so unbothered, such a trust in God and his movement. And I was like, okay, I want to go here. But I was really struggling with, I don't believe all this stuff anymore. And for some reason, I needed permission. And I know I didn't need that, but I felt like I needed permission. And so I reached out and asked to meet with a pastor. And I met with Pastor George, and I just said that. I was like, I feel like I want to be here, but I don't believe all this stuff. Literally. And he's like, okay. It's like, this is the perfect space for you. We don't care. And then he talked about how everyone on the staff believed different things and didn't always agree all the time. And there was a recent sermon I had an issue with. And he was like, yeah, a lot of us did too. And I was, what? Such honesty about, you know, the head pastor or whatever. And again, this is what we've been speaking to. Just this total acceptance and love of my journey was what I needed. And so I'm going to church for a while. And after several months, after a while, I still was like not super like believing the whole Christianity thing again. I started feeling that I was being called back into like relationship with God. Now you have to understand, throughout my whole deconstruction journey, I never became atheist or didn't believe in God, but I definitely had more of that new age mentality of like source, divine being, universe, you know, I use that kind of language. And so I was like, man, I think I'm being called back to this. And so I hired a mentor, a spiritual mentor. And I remember being on the consult call, and this is what she does, is help women restore relationship with God in preparation for union with a man in particular. And I remember crying on the consult call, like I'm feeling called back to God and I don't want to. Yeah. Like there was this resistance to coming back into that kind of relationship. And right before I started working with her, I did my first plant medicine ceremony and met God profoundly, profoundly. And it was in that ceremony when he spoke to what I referred to earlier, where he was like, Melissa, your journey, when you kind of look back as like being religious and you kind of criticize that, I was there. Those moments were real. And you felt like I was speaking to you and you felt like you were close with me. We were, you know, and he was gentle to remind me to not discount. And I remember being in ceremony and just feeling this overwhelming love of God and coming back into his presence and him saying to me, don't you remember? Don't you remember what this used to feel like? Ooh, just weeping. And I needed that. Again, I am so strong-willed. Like I needed, and I knew I it was totally unplanned, my ceremony. I just felt like it was the right thing to do. And I remember thinking, I have all of this head knowledge. I've done this whole year or two of learning. I need to embody. I need to feel this in my body. And God was so faithful to meet me in that. And so over the course of this mentorship with this mentor, I just started to restore a real relationship. And the pieces came slowly. Like it wasn't until midway or closer to the end of our mentorship that I had this moment in the bathtub where the Holy Spirit rushed in and met me. You know, it's been a really slow, the pieces coming together, kind of like you said, like, what? I don't understand why this Jesus thing is important. It's so funny how I like grew up super religious. I have a degree in Bible and theology, but I have been learning again like a child, just like you. What does this mean? What does it mean God's will? What does it mean God has a plan? And usually every time I come across a big concept or a piece, I'm like, ugh, I don't believe that. I don't like it. And just like, and I'll be like, what do you think? What do you think it means that God has a plan for your life? Like I've asked so many people that. And just adopting like this childlike mentality of starting to understand and incorporate the pieces. And never at any time did I put, well, I forgot to mention this piece. When I first started going back to church, and I think I wrote a post about this, that was the hardest piece, was feeling a pressure to believe again. And what I want to start talking more about is like that can look differently for every person. And that's just me going back into that old religious mindset of like, it has to look this way and it has to be this way. And only when I gave myself permission to like be on my own journey, like God just wants our honesty. He just wants our honesty. He doesn't want our perfection. And that's when he comes and meets you. Yeah,
that is so beautiful. And I can see how, like, I personally have never experienced something like a plant medicine journey. And I know that in the New Age field, that's like something that is so like a lot of people in my environment are doing those kind of things or have done those kind of things. I can see how for you, especially with like all that type A and like very structured mind, yep, something like that without trying to recommend this or anything, just I just see how that helped you in that moment to like really let, yep, go of everything that you were trying to hold on to, and it allowed you to kind of see clearly in a different way without all of this like grasping and holding and tight stronghold on something. And so I think that's so beautiful that that helped you into, yeah, kind of easing into that space and opened that door for you once again. And it's also beautiful because we now kind of circled back to that question that I was asking almost like very at the beginning. So how did that look like to start believing, yeah, those things again, right? And I do love how you're explaining this with this, yeah, it's just taking on this childlike mentality and asking those questions. I feel so seen in that as well, because for my personal journey as well, the past couple of months, and I'm sure it will come up over and over again, there's questions that I have. Like, I'm reading something, I'm like, what does that mean, and why is that so, and why should I like buy into that, and also, what does it, yep, mean for my life, or how does that apply to me, or what can I take out of that? Just like drawing back, yeah, to that fact that a lot of those ancient stories, really, they have their purpose for sure, and they are there for a reason. And they are also, I mean, just, yep, for me, what is so mind blowing really is that this is like a book that has that just stood the test of time for years that no other book has ever done. So I do believe that brings a certain, okay, there's something in there that is of necessity of why it's still there, and right, why we might want to read it, and why it might help us on our journey. And there are concepts and things in there that are super important to us in our lives and also applicable. But then it comes to the point of that it is on us to see, okay, how do we actually interpret that? How is it actually, what does it actually say? Because, I mean, just my personal opinion on that is you can take it as literally as you want, but a lot of things, if you take them literal, they don't make sense at all to the world that we are living in right now. So you would need to take them out in some ways and take parts of the scripture that you can apply. And I think that is something that is so important. And that's why I love just to explore certain concepts and certain ideas that I'm reading up on, and just getting help really from sources like the Bible Project and stuff like that. Just watching videos as a, like really in a way of, as you would, yes, explain to a child probably, to understand the story that was currently shared, and yeah, just to get an idea of what I'm actually reading and how I can make sense of it, and to just connect dots as well. I think that's so important. And also, it is so interesting because sometimes you watch like 3, 4, 5 sermons and you realize they're all talking about the same part of scripture, but they're taking them into a completely different field of our current life. So one time you can take it out and you can take it into a relational sense, then you could take it into a sense of like how we just, I don't know, hold our own posture, or you could take it into a sense of singleness. I don't know, you can just take it into all different areas of your life and see, okay, how does it apply there, and what can we take out of that there? And I think that is something that is so important, to just allow ourselves to explore. And for me personally, I see for myself that the highest value then is also in just the personal relationship that I have, because that is where I can find my personal truth and get my, I guess, in a way, personal guidance. Because, yeah, that is just the thing that's often probably most applicable to life. But then also I want to discern what I'm hearing, like the God's voice and the way that I am communicated with, to just see, okay, how does that, how is that in coherence with scripture? How is that in coherence with, yeah, the knowledge that's already there? And then I think in that sense, we can make sense of everything that is around us. But It just applies to what you said earlier as well. Like, a lot of people probably don't want to do that because you want to like have everything served on like a silver platter and it already has to be laid out. But I don't think that the world actually works like that if you want to experience it in its fullness and if you really want to, I guess, have like a great discernment in many ways as well. Yeah.
And that was a piece that really helped me in deconstruction, was understanding that in Judaism, so the people who wrote this sacred text, so in the West, in evangelical Christianity, we take scripture and we use it to end the debate. In Judaism, they use scripture to start the debate.
Oh, that's interesting.
That is a very different approach to the text, right? And this is, again, what I'm speaking to. Like, in the West, we're really uncomfortable with the level of nuance that you're describing. When I started going back to church and I was struggling with, I was in this like, I feel like I have to just believe again. And maybe it's just my pride. My therapist offered me the most beautiful medicine, which was the phrase from AA. And I think I've talked about this online too, is take what you want and leave the rest. That is not okay to Christians in the West, but that is what I needed, right? That's what we're speaking to, is like, let people be on their own journey. Let God move. Let people be in the truth of their pace, and the truth of their understanding, and also just realizing like, oh man, that's not even how the Jewish people approach scripture. And, you know, something that's coming to mind that I feel that I want to share is, I've been talking to a couple of clients about this, is the story of Abraham and Isaac. This actually got brought up in my DMs yesterday. And this woman's like, I want to restore my relationship with God, but like, how can I love and serve a God who wanted a father to murder his son? Like, I don't understand that. And this pastor that I mentioned, Damon Thompson, he just blew my mind several months ago. And he was like, God is light and in him is no darkness. And it's dark to want to tell someone to murder their son. What if Abraham was operating within this sacrificial religious system that I've already referenced? And what if that was the only way Abraham understood how to relate to divinity?
Yeah.
What if that's never what God wanted at all, but that was his Abraham's experience at the time, and that's how it was recounted because that's how those people related to a divine being. And that is the nuance that we have to approach scripture with, of like, like you said, yes, there is so much wisdom and beauty, and it's alive, and there's a reason it has stood the test of time, and it has something to say to us today in 2024. But can we also acknowledge that we have evolved as a species, and can we look at these scriptures and just say, what's true here? Like, what could be happening here, as opposed to having to take everything so literally and force ourselves to love and worship a God that told people to slaughter thousands, right? Like, there's something that rings untrue to us. And that's what I had to say to this woman, is like, that's good. That part of you that's like, I don't like that, honor her.
Yeah.
Honor her. That's this movement that we're seeing of people who are coming back to God. And they're like, we reject this. This is not what is true. And God's like, I'm going to reveal to you a new part of my nature. I'm going to reveal to you a new way of relating to me. And I love that you mentioned like, yeah, the plant medicine ceremony thing, like, it's so interesting. I felt called to it. And I've met people who are like, I felt called to the mushrooms. Like, can God use mushrooms? Yes. Right? Like, it doesn't mean that you have to then really fall into the trap of needing it all the time. But like, God is so good. He's like, I know you, Melissa, and you live up here in your head, and I'm going to call you to an experience to bring you in your body, and I'm going to meet you there.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
I think that is something so important. And thank you for sharing that, because I feel like that is something that can easily happen, right? And this is like, when we talk about this traditional path, maybe as well, or just like a very closed off path, then we might want to discredit everything. But I've had so many thoughts, and I'm reading a really interesting book right now. It's on spiritual gifts, actually, and it's called Understanding Spiritual Gifts by Sam Storms. I don't know if you heard about this before.
Yeah.
And I just find it so interesting because some of the things that are talked about in there in relation to God actually make me think about my experience that I had with something called theta healing. I don't know if you ever heard about this.
Mm-mm.
And the interesting thing is that this is something that I learned while I was on my New Age journey. But the interesting thing during that time where I was learning that, and it was about helping people to release things from their subconscious, really. That was the work that was done. But it was actually done through the creator Or they even used the woman who founded this technique, basically, she even talked to God. So obviously there's discernment to be that is needed, because you can easily fall into the trap of like also pulling in dark sources, etc. So for sure that is so important. But this just makes me think, okay, there are so many things that we need to be careful of discrediting, because they could literally, even without knowing, be part of your gifting or your ability to maybe have like a thinner layer in your consciousness that makes you already relate to other parts. And for example, that is also something that I've been just contemplating the past 2 or 3 days, is that when I was a child, I knew just a couple of days before someone would die in like, not in my family, but like, either someone I knew from like walking outside, or like another person's family, or someone just like a bit further away from who, like from my immediate environment. And I would have like those anxiety attacks and panic attacks, and I knew something bad is going to happen, and I couldn't really discern what it was. And for me, moving forward and like walking my path with God, I couldn't discredit that I had this ability, and that I actually learned on my path until today to regulate that more and to gain an understanding about that. And so I think it's so important to, like you said, also with, for example, plant medicine, to see, okay, there are many different ways, many things that can be used by God, or that can actually be something that we experience, because this is the experience that we have, and they cannot be discredited just because maybe there's no literal word for it in, let's say, the Bible, or there is no literal word for it in this world, really, because like for these things, we don't even really have words, in not even in like the woke society, or it's just experiences. And I think what always like comes back to me is how much of a mystery this life is. And we're not here to figure it all out, but we have the chance to really have a full life and explore what we can explore. And as feminine beings, also having these full circle journeys, there's like deconstruction, reconstruction, because that's also so innate. This is like so in our nature, and it makes so much sense to me also to witness that. And we do have the ability, with all of that happening around us, to find our anchor in God and in our creator, and have this relationship in all of that, and be guided by him and see him as our highest truth and the love that he is in this world. And I thought it was so beautiful that what you shared as well, with him being completely, absolutely good. And the thing is, what I just want to bring up in there is that we don't even know what that good is and what that actually means, because our capacity of understanding, I think, is way smaller than being able to grasp that, really. So with that in mind, it also gives a completely different light to when you read about a certain thing that has happened, or scripture, like a story that someone lived through, or something that has been written down, or an experience that someone has. I think that just brings us into this humble state of knowing that we'll never fully know, and we can still find our anchor and our safety and our peace in him, because he can fill that within us, because he can fill that longing that we are carrying within. And I think that is just so beyond beautiful to me.
Yeah. I'm just absorbing it all, letting it all sink in.
Yeah.
I think what I want to say too, that just came to mind for people that are listening and on a journey, or they're feeling called back into relationship with God.
Yeah.
What I'm seeing online a lot, and I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to start posting about this. What I'm seeing online a lot, especially like in the femininity space, is like union with God and just being with him. And it's this very ethereal, I'm so connected, I trust him, bliss, calm, I live overseas. And it can give the impression that life with God is just, when you get it right and you figure it out, you're just blissed out and it's just easy all the time.
Oh no.
And what I want to say is like, no. Like it's so interesting. I had this really profound week with him in between Christmas and New Year's. And I literally was just spending hours with him, hours and hours and hours. And I was like in this blissed out state. And then like this past month, I have felt so far from him. Like the same kind of trying to recreate the same like feeling, right? And worship music and a sermon, like it's not working. And what's so interesting is like, see how I just said that? It's not working. How quickly have I just come out of religion, come into this new way of relating to God, and I'm trying to make it a formula again? And this is where like, that's where his goodness comes into. This is an aspect of his goodness where he's like, all right, Melissa, well, you're going to walk with women on this journey and look at you. You're already trying to find formula for it. You're trying to already feel like you have it figured out. And what's really happening underneath that is like, you're making yourself bad and wrong for not having achieved a certain level of like feeling or connection, yeah. Right? We're trying to get somewhere. That's also what we're trying to like do as the feminine. Like it's, we're like fighting this like urge to like have the goal and figure it out and do the steps to arrive at the thing, at the place. And I'm still unraveling that. I'm still unraveling all those tendencies that I still have in myself to make it a formula or to compare myself to other people. And yeah, I just really felt like I wanted to share that because it can look really deceiving online when we see people just walking so closely with God. And I'm trying to figure out how I can share this more authentically in my work. Is like, it doesn't always feel like that. And what if that's okay? What if there's goodness in that too? And what if there's something that God's inviting us into?
Yeah. That also makes me think of what you said before we started recording. On the one hand, also not discrediting what we are going through and allowing ourselves to really have that hard time and to struggle. And honestly, this life brings so many curveballs. It's like, it's crazy and it can be so hard, even though our lives online can look incredibly amazing. Mm-hmm. And we might actually be in the place that we want to be in, but it still can bring so much with it. And that's what I've been experiencing the past couple of weeks. Honestly, I feel like I'm really called into just surrendering, really. And it's so hard. It's so freaking hard. Oof. And still, I find my strength in being with God and in prayer and in scripture. And I really, in community, first and foremost, honestly, because it's just been so helpful to not be on my own. And just honoring that as well, honoring that space and honoring the not knowing and the giving it up to him, but also knowing that I don't know in which ways he's going to work with it. I don't know. He might, and there's actually a part of scripture about that. He might be like, yeah, I'm not going to deliver you from that just now because like, you're just moving through that. And this is what you're supposed to move through. And again, this is what we talked about. This can be so beyond our understanding because we can be like, I already had this. Now I have this to deal with and that and that. It's like, it's becoming this huge, overwhelming situation that it almost feels like, okay, I don't even know anymore. Like, this is too much to carry for one person. And then knowing, okay, I can surrender this to you. I don't know what you're going to do with it, but like, please help me in this situation and just see me through it. And I think that is something that has just been so profound and so beautiful to me to find my strength in that, even though on a daily basis, there can be moments of like really the deepest struggle. And yeah, I just feel like that's one of the last things that I wanted to share because it just relates so much to what you just said as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my final piece here is, this is what my mentor invited me into. What if where you're at right now in your relationship to God and life, what if it's perfect? Like, what if it doesn't need to be changed? And what if God is not looking at you like, just waiting for her to get her shit together, waiting for her to come back to me? What if that's not his mentality? And how would that change how you approach your life? And so Damon Thompson talks about this concept of, we are treasure in the hands of a mesmerized merchant. Like, he is just so infatuated with us and delighted and is not, we often look at ourselves, especially as women, like, I got to get better at this. And I have this character flaw and I do this and I got to do the work and I got to take this program and I got to do the thing. What if God is just like, I don't need anything about you to change? And what if it's that posture and the acceptance of ourself that invites the change that we're longing for? That level of honesty and that level of beloved identity is what allows him and draws us closer and allows him to come in and transform. And that can be really hard for us, but that has been the most pivotal part of my coming back to relationship with him, is accepting that nothing needs to change, that where I'm at is good and perfect. Yeah. And that's what I want for people to know on this journey.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Yeah, that literally answered the question that I always ask at the end of every episode. And I think that's such a beautiful share for, to just round up our conversation. Honestly, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you. It's just so beautiful to find each other on those journeys and to share that with everyone listening. Really grateful for this space, and thank you for sharing, the journey that you went through and all your thoughts and processes and your relation that you have to faith, and sharing so vulnerably and openly with all of us. I think that there's so much power in that, and I feel deeply humbled to be able to have this conversation with you. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It was such a joy.